Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Wednesday the 16th of September. Apologies, behind the eight ball again today as Betfair didn't have a fixture on. I think this is going to be the way the season's going to go. It's an absolute pain in the arse for me, I'm not going to lie, but it is what it is. Okay, where should we start? Let's start with the old Spurs fans getting a bit excited first. My old mum used to say, it's okay making a mistake, but don't keep making the same mistake twice, because then you're just an idiot. And goes for gambling as well. But Spurs won't be signing Bale. Relax yourselves. Do you honestly think that Daniel Levy is going to be shelling out 300 large a week on a 31-year-old? We've had it before. This is just the Levy 101. We had it to pretend you're going to sign someone big, takes all the heat off, it makes it sound like a club are ambitious and exciting. It never comes off, and then he can say when the transfer window closes and we've bought Johnny the shelf stacker from Morrison's to cover for Harry Kane, remember Rasiak? He'll buy that, and it'll be we did try, just couldn't get it over the line. We've had Dybala, we've had Coutinho, we've had it recently. It's been 20 years he's done it. I think people still dine out on the fact we did actually get Van der Vaart, what, in God knows, 12 years ago, 10 years ago, on a deadline day. We won't be having Gareth Bale. I doubt we'll be getting the left back either. Relax yourselves. Calm yourselves down, honestly. Just all the flipping, let's just pretend that we're doing something so that it takes the heat off. And we will end up with some old cabbage. So relax yourselves. I don't like seeing these Spurs fans. It's not good. Regular disappointment isn't good. It's better just to think nothing's going to happen and you can chill out. Relax yourselves. Right, if this Tokyo game is 0-0 in the second half, 55 minutes, it's currently on the 27th minute, then drip back over 1.5 goals and trade from there to the Tokyo Oita Trinata. And just for my old mate Kev, I've got a open US Open preview. So I'm going to run you through that now, and then that'll be me done, and I'm going to crack on with some work. It's at Winged Foot, which is on my personal opinion, the hardest US Open course. This is where Monty blew it up the last. He duffed the 6-iron short, having it a great drive, which Golf World cruelly then gave him shot of the month when he'd missed out on the US Open. Mickelson was also up there, and then he started spraying it a bit in the last few holes as his US Open hoodoo and woes carried on, and it enabled Jeff Ogilvie to sneak in. And Ogilvie was a Monty type player. He actually got up to about fourth in the world. He was sort of underrated, but he very much a sort of methodical straight hitter, good putter, and very much in the Monty type mould. And I think that's what we're going to need this week, a strategically sound and boring player, if you like. I know the game's moved on since then, but it's just that sort of golf course that you need to play solid, play the long par fours well. Booming won't count for a massive amount. Of course, DJ could make me look very stupid and run away with it, but I don't think so. I think over par at 8 to 11 is a good bet. I think over par wins it. But you need a good long game, but you've just got to be able to scramble for 4 days solid. That's the thing with these just wear you out. You know, when DJ won, 4 years ago at Oakmont with 4 under 3 clear, it was a lot more open. They'd taken out 4,000 trees before that. I've no doubt that if he's playing well, as any of the top players, they'll be around there. But at 8-1, I certainly couldn't get involved. John Rahm, not sure he has the temperament yet for US Open, missed the cut. Two missed cuts in the last 3 years. It's a grind, just don't see it suiting his game. Again, not too good to probably not be around, but I can't see him having the discipline for 72 holes to win it at 8-9-1. Justin Thomas, who I think is the best of all of them on his day, but I just don't see him as a US Open winner. He's not got a great record in the event, missed cut last year, just the one top 10 in the last 5 years. McIlroy, 3 missed cuts in the last 5 years, not for me, thank you. He is, you know, all that talk when he blew on the scene of him being the next Tiger, he is not even close and never will be. A reasonable bet for him, I do think, is top 10 at 3.35, because he's the sort of guy who, you know, he'll play okay, and then if he's behind, he'll shoot a good last round and get in the top 10. But of the market leaders, the one I like is Schofield. Xander Schofield, great US Open record, 4 tour wins, including the FedEx Cup, WGC, finished 3rd, 6th and 5th the last 3 years here, and I'm sure he will be there. He is 14-1 at the bookies, and he is on the exchange 16. So Xander Schofield is one for me, or Schofield for me, as one of my main bets, Xander Schofield. Morikawa, who won the PGA, not for me, in a much tougher setup. Again, I think he'll, you know, they're good players, he'll be there, but not for me. DeChambeau, next please, moving on, no thank you. Webb Simpson, been playing great, US Open previous winner, got to have a chance, but I just think on this particular course, the lack of the length, some of these brutal par fours, I think that may be done for him. Daniel Berger, don't think he's ready yet, and certainly not anybody I'd be playing at sub 30-1. Patrick Cantlay, golf guru, puts him up. I love him as a golfer. I watched him when I went to America, but he's just not winning regularly, just not getting over the line. So, you know, he's one I'm going to pass over. I might throw a few quid at him on Betfair. He's 38, just a small bet, just because I'd be annoyed if he does win and I'm not on him. Matsuyama, do me a favour, I'm never ever backing the guy again. No, not for me. Jason Day, gone, sorry. I just think his best days are behind him. Always seems to have something wrong with him. Bad back, bad leg, vertigo. He's not for me, not somebody I'd want my money on. And lots of people talking about Tony Finau. Honestly, I couldn't back him with your money. He may go on to win, but he just can't get over the line. The guy's one win in a sort of secondary event in Puerto Rico. I would want twice the price to be backing him. And if he is up there Sunday, he's one, you know, sort of McIlroy like that I'd be looking to lay. Fleetwood playing okay. I think, you know, as UK fans, we get excited seeing him up there a couple of times. But 65th last time, not comforting. I think more likely if Fleetwood wins a major, it will be over here. It will be the Open Championship, which is, of course, the best one of the lot. And to complete the top 15 in the betting, Patrick Reed, major champion, 3 top 20s last 5 US Opens, 3 top 20s last 5 starts, knows how to win, chips and putts as well as anyone, and at 33-1, 35-1 with Hill's top 9, 42 on the exchange, Patrick Reed is definitely getting some of my money this week. So Patrick Reed and Xander Schofield are the two I like in the top 15 of the betting. I've got a feeling that golf guru is Patrick Reed. I read his email but only glanced at it because the football was late. But that is where I like that. We have then got further down, I've got some that I like. I mean, I've got to. And I'm going to do this on the exchange. Woods is 60 on the exchange. It's just too big. We all know he's past his best, but he fights for every shot. Strategically, he's not going to get fazed by it. May just not play well enough, but you know, you can't rule out somebody like that at that price in a course that is going to take some plotting round. And if he does chip and putt well, you know, he could well spring a surprise and he may well trade. You know what's going to happen if he gets off to a start, then that price will collapse. So I will probably punt a little bit on the exchange there on Tiger. And one I like at a massive price, just you can go bookies as well, top 9 is the best I've seen, but I think that may be online, but is Brian Harman. Brian Harman's a very, very good player. He's a bit of a streaky player, but he's a very good long par 4 golfer. So Brian Harman at 390 on the exchange, 200-1 with Hills, I believe, just for small money. If he has a good putting week, you know, he could be like your Jeff Ogilvy, sneak in there and be thereabouts. And then I've just got a few on the exchange that I've just got to play just because of the prices. They're just way too big. Mickelson at 170. Got it. I mean, the guy was second here last time, second or third. I can't remember whether he finished level with Monty or one behind. I know it's fairy tale stuff, but he has, you know, he can still win. He's won last year. He's won on the Champions Tour this year. he can scramble as good as anyone if he gets it going and he's desperate to win it. I'm not saying he will, but at 170, I certainly couldn't turn him down another one. If he gets it going, the public will come for him and the price will collapse. Oosthuizen at 100, just a grinder. Just think he's too big a price at 100. Burn Oosthuizen. Danny Willett at 700 is just madness. You know, again, I'm not saying he'll win. These are prices that you'd take to look to trade. But Danny Willett can chip and putt and scramble like anybody in a fighter, and proved with his Masters that if he gets a sniff, he'll be there. So I just can't see how he is ranked in around the people he is at 700. Had a couple of reasonable performances this year. And Mark Leishman, who's won this year, great putter, hits it long. I've always felt he was going to be a major champion. Maybe not now, you know, his days seem to be fading away, but he's still a great player. As I say, he won when I was in San Diego, funnily enough, earlier in the year before the virus. And he is 400. So the main bets from here, Schofield and Reed out the top of the betting. Tiger's too big, Brian Harman. And one I missed, sorry, I don't know whether I mentioned it. I think I might have missed this. The young English lad, Fitzpatrick. I like him as well. Sorry, I missed him. Matt Fitzpatrick. Plays hard courses really well. Again, not the longest, but a good chip from putter. And he's one of those that can just sneak along. And Matt Fitzpatrick, 60 on the exchange. I think he's 50-1 with Hills. Is another one that I would like. I'm going to have a little bit of money on. So let's just go through it again. Sorry. Xander and Reed, main bets out of the top 15 in the betting. I'm going to have a few quid on Fitzpatrick. I'll probably split and have a bit each way and a bit on the exchange to trade. A few quid on Tiger on the exchange only to trade. Brian Harman, again, small beans, a bit on the exchange. And I will get one of the lads in the shops just to put a little bit on at the 200-1. And then on the exchange only, just big prices. Mickelson, Oosthuizen, Willett and Leishman. Just looking to trade. Again, I won't be going silly on them. I'll be sort of having 20, 25 quids, maybe 50 on Mickelson, and just looking to trade them if they go well. So that is the US Open. I don't know whether it's my... I think I like the US Open because I like seeing them not struggle, but have to think and play, not just boom it down and have putting competitions. That bores the hell out of me. So I'm interested to see how this goes. I do like the US Open, much better than that stupid thing they have in all April, the old club championship. But yeah, I like it. It's my sort of golf. I like to see, as I say, I like to see them playing tough courses rather than the 28 under pars. And I do think it will be over par that wins this tough golf course, Wingfoot. So yeah, so that's it. Apologies if that's all a bit quick and rushed. Just got stuck for time with those games, that game missing on Betfair. Have a lovely Wednesday, and I'll be back with you tomorrow.